The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the word of God be on my mind, on my lips, and my heart. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke blessing to God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have this image. When I was born, there was great fanfare and celebration. Aunts, uncles, cousins coming by the house at all hours of the day and night, just amazed, excited, ooing and awing over this little child. At my dad's office, there were conga lines being done, cigars passed out, people hanging around the water cooler debating, "What then will this child be?" The reality is a little bit different. When I was born, my mother was on a gurney in the hall of the hospital. Dad had been sent home because she was not in labor. She had indigestion. And my mother will tell you that I have been the source of heartburn ever since. Now you laugh, but I'm willing to bet that each and every one of your parents called you something much worse than heartburn. I will also bet that when you were born, that question, "What then will this child be?" was being asked and thought about. It's a natural question. Normal, very, very human. Whenever we see a little child, isn't that what we ask? It's a question full of hope and promise. So many endless possibilities. So many dreams. What then will this child be? I ask that every time I see my nephew or my niece. All the little ones that run around in the parish. The three blind mice up here. Anytime the graduates from high school leave to go off, what then will this child be? What does the future hold? What's going to happen? What are the possibilities? What are the wonders that will take place? It's normal and natural and human, and we all do it, and it's an exciting question. But I have to be careful with that question, because that question can also be a burden. It can be a trap for disappointment. I project my own hopes and dreams and expectations. My hopes, my dreams, my expectations on my niece or nephew or others, instead of letting them figure out what God's hopes, God's dreams, and God's expectations for them are. I do it with my nephew, my niece. I do it with just about anybody. I do it with my own brother, my friends, parishioners, people I meet on the street. I project my hopes, my dreams, my expectations. And it comes out like this. I want you to be just like me. I want you to be what I want you to be, not as God wants you to be. I wonder if John experienced any of the burdens of the community's expectations as he grew up and became the herald of the Messiah. I mean, let's face it, I bet no one saw that one coming. Many considered him a madman, wandering out in the desert, eating locusts and honey, dunking people in the Jordan River, preaching repentance for sin, being the Messiah's herald, pointing out the Lamb of God, recognizing that he was not the Messiah, only the one to make the Messiah known, helping to prepare others to receive the Lord, helping others to receive salvation. What then will this child be? Exactly what God wanted him to be.